Well, the pressure's on. It's been quite a time. We've enjoyed ministry in the Napanee area. Never dreamt, actually, that God would provide such a way for us to minister. And through so many different circumstances in life, I'm sure that you can testify to the same thing. You just never know what's coming down the road in life and how God is going to guide us through different twists and turns. But here we are today in the house of God, and I just want to commend you folks for hanging on to this pastor and his wife, and I want to commend you folks for being here and doing the job you're doing for God in this church. When I got the request from Pastor Stephen to come and minister here, it really blessed me, because I think a lot of this man and of the ministry that he's doing in this community, and it's great to be able to come and share ministry here with you folks. Feel a little bit intimidated, but I'm new in this journey. I'm a newbie. This gentleman's been preaching the gospel for some time, but I'm the newbie here in the pulpit today, and so we're going to look to God for great things. And I have a message that I want to share with you this morning. It's one that I've shared before, but I believe that the Lord is leading us to share again today. And you know, when we come to church, sometimes we come with very very different weeks behind us. Sometimes we have a great week, and sometimes it's very easy. You'll know why I'm going to do this in just a moment. The message today is on stress. And I just want to say, too, to our folks at the back, I've been in a lot of church situations and services and various things over the years. Started in ministry, actually, on a part-time basis when I was 14. And that's been more than a couple of years ago. And things have changed in church. Technology has come in to help us out. And I have to say, in some respects, have got in the way of us being able to worship. But you folks have it right here. And I appreciate that. And we're just going to use it this morning to the glory of God and share some things with you that's been on our hearts. If you want to take time this week, and I pray that you do, read in the book of Romans. We're not going to take time this morning. Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 39. Romans 8, 18 to 39. Our sermon this morning is entitled Stress-Free Living. We have a lot to be happy about, don't we? I believe we do. There's a lot to be thankful for. And yet, sometimes in life, we find ourselves not in that place where we feel that God is really blessing us. And we get stressed. Let's do a little test this morning and see if we are stressed. You find yourself stopping to think about something and then forgetting the very thing that you stopped to think about? That's happened to me. And have you found yourself lately finding things that used to be fun to do now have turned into be a burden? And are you getting up as tired in the morning as when you went to bed at night? These can all be signs of stress. On the web and stress.org, they claim that 43% of all adults suffer stress-related health problems. An estimated 1 million workers are absent on any given day as a result of stress. And the number of workers who reported feeling high stress doubled in the last 5 years. In the movie Dead Poets Society, actor Robin Williams plays a professor of literature in an elite New England college. And he encourages his students, as he's lecturing to them, to drink from the depth of life. Get out of life the very fullness that it has to offer. Seize the opportunity of each day and take it while you can. It's been said that opportunities are like sunrises. If you wait too long, you'll miss them. And Thomas Edison, who we can thank for our light bulb here this morning, said, "Opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work." I have a Portuguese wife. And the Portuguese saying that relates to this is, "Live to learn, and you'll learn to live." Now, I've been thinking about this phrase, carpe diem. It's in the movie. And as I was thinking about preparing for this message today, I thought, how can we get the very most out of life? How can we drink from the depths? I hope that during the presentation of this message that you will be able to learn how to carpe every diem in your life. So what does it mean to be a deep person, a person of substance? What does it mean to have a deep life? Or what does it mean to really live life to the fullest? A radio announcer came on air one time and he said, in the morning show, it said, "Life magazine, get life at half price." And I think that's what most people are doing these days, is they're trying to invest half the effort, but they want to get the most out of life. There's a verse in Scripture that I'm sure that most of you, if not all of you, are well familiar with, that Jesus spoke of in John 10:10. He said, "I came to give life. Life in all its fullness." And in some translations it says life more abundantly. So the question here today for us is, how do we get there? How do we get that fullness of life? For the next little while, that's what we want to focus on. Today you may feel that you have wasted some of your life. You may have feel that you have wasted this last year. You may have wasted a couple or 3 years, maybe even a decade. But I'm here to tell you that we can take steps today to step into that fullness and deepness of life. So let's take our first step into the deep. So where do we start on this road? Step number one, I believe, comes when we conquer the stress in our life. You often hear people say, "You need to use stress management." Well, I have no interest in learning how to manage stress. I want to eliminate it from my life. I want to learn how to live without it. Now, obviously, stress is something that we all have to face. And the truth is, it's a killer. It kills our body. It can kill our relationships. It can kill our job opportunities. It kills our joy. It can even kill, and this is a serious one, we're going to have lunch in a little bit, it can kill our taste for food. Did you realize that? When we are totally stressed, it pretty much kills life. There was a special on stress recently on National Geographic Channel, and they referred to some research that's been done recently measuring dopamine levels in the body under stress. And the bottom line of this study is this: when you're stressed, food doesn't taste as good as it normally would. When we walk out of here, the sun doesn't shine as it normally would shine to us because of this stress. The joke is a sad, sad joke and commentary on life and on the way we approach it. And I don't know about you, but I don't want these stresses to kill us having the joy that Jesus spoke about in John 10:10. Stress is the deeper life's killer. And unless we eliminate it by the grace of God, we will not live that fullness of life and that fullness of joy that Jesus talked about. Most of the time, in fact, nearly all of the time, it is the power stress has over us is merely perceived. In other words, we make more of things than what they really are. By our attitude, by our lack of relationship sometimes in God, we allow a molehill to become a mountain. I was going to title this message, Don't Sweat the Big Stuff. But I would say, if we learn today, we don't have to sweat either the big or the little stuff. Obviously, there are times when stress is appropriate. There are times when we truly are in the midst of a perilous situation, and stress is quite appropriate. I'll tell you a story. There was a pastor one time down in Brazil, and he was walking home at 10 o'clock at night, which is when their Sunday night service would get out. And he was walking home, and there was a couple of teenagers that confronted him on his journey home. And he thought as they approached him, they're going to ask me for money. Well, he wasn't disappointed. But they didn't do it very friendly. They got right in his face, and they said some very nasty things to him, to the point where he became concerned that he would not just lose his possessions and possibly his money, he might even lose his life. And when he had this experience, he shifted in to what we call the fight or flight mode. You see, our bodies are designed this way in order to deal with imminent danger. Your heart will start to speed up, your blood vessels will constrict, your eyes will dilate, and fat is actually released into your muscles so that you can run or protect yourself or do whatever you need to do to become safe. And he was so gripped with fear, he felt this surge of adrenaline in his body as he considered his options. Fortunately, he was able to get away from these young fellows without losing anything. The boys ran off and he was safe again. And within a few minutes, his breathing, his heart rate went back to normal. And all this fat was then displaced back to its original place, because the danger had passed. This is how fight or flight works. That's how it's supposed to work. And I am sure that if we were to take a poll this morning, all of us can relate to some time in our life when we were in an unexpected, dangerous situation and that adrenaline kicked in. However, over the years, we have conditioned ourselves to act this way in situations that aren't necessarily that dangerous. We've acted this way when we've got interrupted at work, or when our sports team makes a bad play, or when the internet goes down, or when we have to stand in line at the bank, or there are some people who spend their whole day going in and out of this fight or flight mode. And even worse, there are some people who never escape. They spend their entire lives, every day, going in and out of fight or flight. We've probably seen a space shuttle launch. I would imagine most of us have. And one day an astronaut was asked, just before he was getting ready to go on the launch pad, what concerns you the most when you board this spaceship? Without batting an eye, he said, well, that every part on this spaceship was supplied by the lowest bidder. Now, if you're being thrust out into space, that might be a concern to you. Needless to say, this is not conducive to abundant life. That's because most of us perceive stress as being unmanageable. On top of that, most of us have disproportionate stress that controls our lives. Have you ever been running late, come up to a traffic light, and you sit there and it seems like the light is painted, it's not actually turning? And sometimes you'll see, I'm sure you wouldn't do it yourself, but sometimes you'll see another car will kind of jockey, change one lane to the other, just to get ahead 2 more feet. They're not going any further. This kind of stressful anxiety, again, is the enemy of the deeper life that God wants us to have. And when we consider what the Bible says about a deeper life, we see how completely unnecessary that state of mind is. The only time we should really be stressed is when we're in a situation that is completely out of our control. But here's the catch. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you will never, never, never be in a situation that is out of His control. Because greater is He that is in you and me than he that is in the world. It's a good verse to memorize. It's a good one to remember. This verse reminds us that even when the world is falling all apart around us, we don't have to worry, because we have the Spirit of God living in us, and God's power is greater than any chaos that exists in this world. This means that as a child of God, you'll never encounter a situation beyond His ability. And too often we make the mistake of looking at this situation as our ability. But greater is He. A deep, fulfilling, satisfying, and abundant life will never just fall into your lap. Too often we want to take the easy way. But you have to choose it. You have to reach out and take it. And how do we do that? By giving God the place that you've been giving the stress in your life. It is called surrender. Most of us perceive stress in an inaccurate way, because that is our humanity. That is not God. We're stressed because we tell ourselves the wrong thing. That is the problem. We need to quit telling ourselves the wrong things. We need to start telling ourselves the right things. So today I want to share with you three secrets that will help you to that deeper life. And actually, they're not even secrets. They're in our Bibles, in Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 39. And if you'll remind yourself of these secrets, I believe you'll have that deep, full, complete life that Jesus talked about. Our first principle I want us to remember is the principle of God's presence. He is always with us. Every believer knows this, sort of. I'm sure if I were to ask the question this morning of you, is God with us? You would say, of course He is. We're in His house. What about when we step outside these doors? Greg Rochelle uses the term Christian atheist to describe someone who believes in God, who lives as though God doesn't exist. Rochelle is a pastor of one of the largest churches in the States, and he admits that for years he lived this way himself. For years he did ministry depending on himself. And as a result, he was always tense, always stressed, and no amount of success could bring him peace of mind. Many people live this way, as if they're alone, as if God is off somewhere in the distance, not really paying any attention to what's going on in their lives. And if that is the way that you are living today, I would have to say, no wonder that you are stressed. No wonder you're living on the edge. Who wouldn't be, to be alone in a world like we live in today? The Bible teaches us different, however. The Bible says again and again that God is with you, right here, right now. Many people would say, of course He is. We're in His house. But He is also with us when we go outside into the real world. He is with us at work. He is with us at mealtime. He is with us in the car when we're sitting at that red light. God spoke these words to Moses, and He speaks them to us again here today. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. When you find yourself getting stressed over and over on these small things of life, please take a moment and remind yourself that God is with you right there at that moment. He is not over yonder. He is right by your side. And he is saying, I don't want you to be stressed. Give me your burden. Let me take care of you. God is always present with you. So make it a point to communicate with him. Make it a point to bless him, to thank him. Thank you, Lord, for being here with me. I welcome your presence. For when we walk through these doors today, he doesn't just stay here for the week. He goes with us. Romans 8:35, Paul tells us this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And he goes on to say, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That pretty well covers life, doesn't it? We want insurance on life. There it is. And it's free. It's the principle of God's presence. He is with us all the time, and he is here to stay. He's not going anywhere. He's not the kind of friend that scatters when trouble comes. He takes charge when we surrender. So that's the first thing I would like you to see. The second thing is the second principle of the principle of God's purpose. There is no such thing as random with God. In verse 28, Paul tells us, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And in some versions it says, God causes all things to work together for good. When you give your life to Christ Jesus, he becomes the architect of your future. And the key word in that sentence is give. He designs and directs the details of our life so that we can become the person he has created us to be. A story is told of a young family who had a fire in their house. It wasn't totally destroyed, but there was quite a bit of damage. And they hired a company to come in and renovate and restore their house. And at the end of the project, the house somehow became larger and actually nicer than it was before. They ended up almost with their dream home after this fire. You know, God works in the same way. He can take the fires that have burned out parts of our lives, and he can take all that black and dirty stuff in our life and clean it out, and he can rebuild it and remake it better than it was before. But he will never enforce it on us. We have to receive it. And again, it is free. In the book of Genesis, the story of Joseph is told of his brothers selling him into slavery, and then their father, and then told their father that he had died. And Joseph became a slave. He was put into prison and all but forgotten. Then God stepped in, and God raised Joseph up to one of the most powerful positions in Egypt. And eventually the day came when his brothers sought him out and said, Joseph, please don't seek revenge against us. And Joseph replied this, you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He has brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. So when it appears that one random problem after another keeps happening in our lives, we need to remind ourselves that there is no such thing as random with God. God has a plan. He always has a plan. He has a purpose, and he is working all of this together for our good if we trust him, not stress out, and allow him to use his power in our lives. Principle number three, the principle of God's perspective, learning to see the big picture. We get stressed when we live life as if every moment counted. The Bible teaches us that this moment isn't all there is. This moment is just a drop in the ocean of eternity. And that's why we need to learn to see the big picture. If you suffer a setback today, or if you have to deal with a disappointing situation today, if you have to face an infuriating, frustrating tomorrow, it's not the end of the world, because we don't live just for today. We live for eternity. Has anybody here ever heard of the stress diet? Has anybody here ever been on the stress diet? No hands. I'm going to share it with you. See if you recognize it. This is one day. Breakfast: a half a grapefruit, one piece of whole wheat toast, and 8 ounces of skim milk. Sounds like a decent breakfast. Let's move on to lunch. 4 ounces of lean broiled chicken breast, a cup of steamed zucchini, one Oreo cookie, and herb tea. Did I say one Oreo cookie? Yeah. Oh, there's a mid-afternoon snack. This is the stress diet, remember? The rest of the bag of Oreo cookies, a quart of Rocky Road ice cream, and a jar of hot fudge. That's mid-afternoon. We've survived to dinner. Bring on dinner. 2 loaves of garlic bread, a large mushroom and pepperoni pizza, a large pitcher of root beer, three Milky Way bars, and an entire frozen cheesecake eaten directly out of the freezer. Now that's stress. Here's what Paul had to say in verse 17. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I could read that over and over and over again. There's another one. There's a nugget to remind yourself. We get so focused on this life. But this life is going to be gone like that when the glory of God appears. He is saying God has some big things in store for his people. We can endure some hardships, can we not? Because the best is yet to come. That's why he says in 1 Corinthians, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. What does that say? That means we couldn't even imagine. Artists cannot paint. Songwriters cannot write songs. In our finite mind, as smart as man has become, we don't have a clue. We don't understand God. We can't understand in our lifetime, we can't understand the massiveness of God. How can we understand the blood of Jesus Christ being shed for us? How can we understand the love of a God that would have his only Son nailed to a cross for you and for me, for your sin, for my sin? How can we can't understand that. And the glory that is yet to come is yet to be understood or comprehended, but it's coming. I used to look at this verse and thought it was all about heaven. But if you read it in the right context, you'll see it's not exclusively about heaven. It's about life. Life here and life forever. So here's the paradox. In order to live life to the fullest, we need to realize that this life is not all there is. We need to realize that this moment is not all there is. We need to realize that those situations that we are dealing with are not really do or die situations. One of the key things that I've used, and this isn't scriptural, but this is one thing that I've used in my prayer life, when I have a situation coming up that I am really challenged with, I look at the calendar. Sometimes I look at the clock and I say, you know what? That's happening at 2 o'clock. At 3 o'clock, I'm going to be looking back at it. And I'm going to be seeing how God's going to get us through that. And I know that you've been there too. And you may be there right now. God's grace is sufficient. We need to look at things from God's perspective. We need to look at them in terms of eternity. That way we will be better able to determine what really matters. If we want to drink from the deep end of life, we need to look at life from God's perspective. C.S. Lewis once wrote, "I have discovered that people who believe most strongly in the next life do the most good in the present one." That's because people who see from God's perspective understand what's important and what isn't. They don't get stressed about those things like who got voted off the island, or whether they're going to have an NHL season this fall or not, or whether the pizza arrives on time. They're looking through eternity. They're looking at the big picture. They're looking at life the way God intended. I know that in a crowd this size this morning, no doubt there is someone out there, maybe more than one, that are facing things, maybe hurtful things, and they just don't see how God is going to walk them through that. Don't stress about it today. Place it in God's hands. If you want to eliminate the stress in your life, listen to the scripture when Jesus said, "Put it on me." Learn to see the triviality of your problems in comparison to the greatness of God. The Bible talks about living deep, about abundant life, and that it can be ours in Christ, a life full of joy and meaning and purpose and fulfillment. And it belongs to everyone who will receive it. We can't merit it, but if we receive it by the blood of Jesus Christ, we can have that abundant life. You can start moving into a deeper life today with a determination to turn away from the temporary. Let go of the worry. Release the anxiety and embrace the greatness of our Heavenly Father. He is working out the details in your life right now, if we will just let Him. Even the seemingly difficult ones, the ones that we cannot see around, we can't see through, we can't see over, He's working them out today. And He's doing it not as a hobby. He's doing it for our own good. He's doing it for eternity. Taking the first step in the deep pool means a willingness to surrender, letting go of the little things, and starting to trust God for the big things. If we can do that today, and I hope and pray that what we've shared today you will consider. If we can do that today, let Jesus take your burden. You know what's going to happen in our lives? We're going to rest better. We're going to feel better. And we're going to live better. I don't mean be better people. I mean we're going to have that deep quality of life that Jesus talked about, that abundant life. And I pray today that we will choose that life. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you, Father, that we do not have to walk this road alone, but that you have provided a safe way and have said, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." And Father, whatever it is today that your Spirit has been pointing out in our lives that are stressors, I pray that right now we would surrender those to you. I pray, Father, that we will decide to not carry them anymore, but to place them in your care and keeping, and to accept the joy of serving Jesus, to accept that deeper walk, to accept, Father, that full life that your Son has paid the price for. May these scriptures, Father, be lodged deep in our hearts. May they be an encouragement to us and a guide to us and a check in our way, that as we walk forward, we'll walk in the full blessing of God. For we ask this in your precious name. Amen.